This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
And we will be there in Detroit for the drafts Thursday and Friday.
We still don't know where we're staying, though. Our program director, Justin Craig, still hadn't got me the hotel information.
I thought you were staying at Javonte's house.
We're staying at Javonte's house? Is that what we're doing?
Oh, nice.
Javonte, is that happening?
I mean, you're more than welcome to. I can set it up for you guys if you want.
But am I going to get home-cooked meals? Or sure. Is this going to be a situation where we got to go out to dinner and I got to pay for not only your meal, but everybody else in the house?
I mean, I won't be there, but it's not up to me. But I'm pretty sure my mom will have y'all nice and settled.
Okay, all right, cool.
Javonte, how far is your family from where we are assuming we're staying?
Probably about 45 minutes to an hour.
Oh, no, that's not going to work.
I think we'll stay downtown.
Yeah, I think we'll stay
downtown. Thanks for the offer. We're going to stay downtown.
I don't know. Javonte, what's the family specialty? Like, what's the dish that your family would cook when we came to the house?
That is a good one. Probably be somewhere along the lines of maybe like chili.
No.
That's Javonte, not a good sign.
No, Javonte. See, the fact that you don't know what the go-to is a problem in and of itself. That
well, I don't know what my mom does nowadays.
But you should know what your mom does well, though. You've only known her since birth. Like, I mean, you should know when she want to get down in the kitchen, this is her go-to.
I mean, I was naming the list, and then you just, like, cut me off. So, I mean, like, I don't know what you want me to do.
What you talking about? I didn't cut you off. You said, I don't know. It took you a full 30 seconds before you even said chili.
It's not like I just came up with this topic, you know. Like, people have to think sometimes.
Yeah, but I don't know if I need to think when it comes to what my mom's go-to is or what my wife's go-to is.
I don't like what you're doing here.
What do you mean? What am I doing?
Like, what are you doing?
What do you mean? What am I doing?
Like, it's like you're trying to turn me against my mom. What is happening
right
now?
I'm not turning you against your mom, Javonte. I'm just saying when somebody asks you the question of what's the go-to, like Smalls did, when we go to the house, what can we expect? What is she going to do? Like, you should have the answer, like, hey, I don't know what she's going to do, but what you should ask for is X. And we didn't get that from you.
All right, so what do your mom likes to cook?
Well, here's, okay. So,
oh, this is easy.
Well, here's what we're going to do. Let's do this. This will be fun.
So we're going to go around the room,
and let's open this up to our fans.
It's a lot of thinking going on.
No, I think this will be interesting to hear from the unsportsmanlike fans as to what their family's go-to dishes. This would be great. Like, we're going to hear people's menu out there at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But we'll go around the room. Your family's go-to dish is what?
Ooh, this is so tough because there's so many good ones, but my grandma from Italy has a famous pasta sauce that we make, and the best dish that my grandma made, which is therefore the family dish, is her lasagna.
Lasagna. Okay, Smalls has lasagna. In the Canty house?
All right, fried chicken drumettes from my mom, the candy yams, the collard greens with the fat back in it, and let me get a side of cornbread. For my wife, it's going to be one or two things. It's going to be that crab Alfredo, which she does oh so well.
Wait, I need more details on that because I want that right now.
I don't have the recipe for it.
So it's just crab pasta and the Alfredo sauce?
Yes, it's crab Alfredo. It's outstanding.
Unbelievable.
Crab Alfredo, like lump crab meat with Alfredo and the fettuccine.
That sounds unbelievable.
And then if she really wants to go in, she'll make the duck, which is what she does every single Thanksgiving.
That's where I thought you were going with your life.
And I'm trying to get the duck for Easter, too.
Are you?
Fingers crossed, man. I'm angling for that duck for Easter. Listen, I got to play. I did something over the last few days that should curry some favor for my wife. I'm hoping
that this plays
out a couple weeks from now when we have Easter weekend that I get the duck on Easter.
You know what's
funny? I want the duck on Easter.
I thought you were also going to throw in there your wife's pan-seared steak.
Yeah.
When you were talking about the way she made that steak.
Oh, the steak is outstanding. The steak is outstanding. But you got to remember, Smalls, the steak is a Tuesday for my wife. That's something that's easy. It's like, oh, what do you want for dinner? You want a steak? Cool. It takes her 10 minutes to make.
Wow.
So that's easy for
me. Growing up, my mom was unbelievable at ordering pizza. I mean, just tremendous. She knew the phone number of Amore Pizza in Westchester. She would dial it. And we would have the house charged so she wouldn't even have to give the money. I mean, and it would get there the way in which we wanted it. Just tremendous at ordering pizza.
You don't have one dish?
That's the dish. Growing up. No, get my sister on the phone. There's not a single dish that I could say this was the go-to dish. Amazing at ordering pizza.
What about your wife? Does she have
my wife,
she
a different
cook.
Story.
Exactly.
Yes,
she
my wife
cook.
Is a different
she
story. So my wife does this slow-cooked, like chicken taco burrito kind of Mexican dish that's unbelievable when she does that. But she's a baker.
Okay. So my wife has amazing, like, brownies, cookies, cakes, whatever it is. She did cake pops forever, like, before cake pops were unbelievably popular. So she would do that. But she was – and chicken enchiladas. My wife is not Mexican, but you would think, based on what I'm saying, she is. But she would make these chicken enchiladas. Uh-huh. I still remember when we were living in New York City, she made these enchiladas that I'm still thinking about, like, 12 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Just remarkable.
You see how easy that was, Javante? You see how all of us had something off the top of the dome?
Oh, no, you brought it back to him?
Yeah, I had to bring it back. You see how easy
that
was?
You had time to think about it. I'm not impressed.
You had time to think about it. What do you mean? We didn't have any time to think about it.
You did. Why are you sitting there criticizing me?
Oh, wow.
For no reason at all.
So I'm criticizing you, and while I'm talking to you, you think I have time to think about what my wife and what my mom do well in the kitchen?
Yes.
Come on, man.
Yeah. You're a smart man.
Stop yourself. Stop yourself. Stop yourself.
I will say that chili sounds good.
Mike in North Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 80, your family's go-to meal.
Hey, good morning, y'all.
Morning.
Hey, yeah, back in the day, my mom, she used to always make Frank rice and beans. I'm like, come on, Ma, like, again? Like, that's her go-to meal. She always make Frank rice and beans. So I'm like, that's something that I always remember.
Well, for real. I can tell you this, Smalls, you know what I always say about rice? Underrated. Underrated dish.
You do say that.
Rice is underrated.
And I'm like, it's only one of the most popular ingredients across the entire world
underrated.
Of cultures.
Exactly. Underrated. Roland in Salt Lake City listening on ESPN 700. We know he's not going to say tacos based on Pat Costello, who said there are no good tacos in Salt Lake City.
Yes. Good morning there, family. Native American here in Navajo, we butcher sheep and we make mutton stew with fried bread is what we do.
That sounds good. I never had it before, brother, but that sounds outstanding.
Wow. I'd try it, no doubt.
That sounds outstanding.
Smalls is, it's interesting. Smalls is like the healthiest of the three of us.
Yeah.
But I also think you're the most adventurous in terms of the eating. Like, you would eat any kind of delicacy, correct?
100%.
Yeah, I thought so on that one. Roland in New Orleans, listening on 100.3 FM in New Orleans. What's up, Roland? Patrick in New Orleans. Patrick, I'm sorry. Patrick. Go ahead, Patrick.
It's fine. So my wife's a vegetarian, and I'm not. But it works out great because for Thanksgiving, I'll make a turkey, and she throws down on all of the sides. Potatoes, candy yams, green bean casserole, mashed potatoes, rolls. She does it all. So it's good teamwork.
So, Patrick, I got to ask you this question, though. Is the turkey the go-to meal, or is that just what you have for Thanksgiving? Because I don't know. I don't know a lot of people that are saying that the bird, the turkey, is the go-to meal.
I agree. I think that's a cop-out answer.
I guess I have to say go-to meal for my wife is she makes a really good lasagna.
Okay, that's okay.
Lasagna.
I agree. Right. I thought the exact same thing. Yeah. You can't say Thanksgiving because everyone has that. It's got to be your family's go-to meal.
Yeah.
You can't say turkey at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's not specific to your family.
Does anybody do turkey outside of Thanksgiving?
No, that's the whole point.
Right?
Chad in Texas on ESPN 970. What's up, Chad?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
It depends on the time of year, but my mom would make a deep-fried venison backstrap, some deer meat.
Oh, yeah.
And right when she takes it out of the grease, it's still boiling. She hits it with the salt. It soaks in really good.
Ooh.
I think that'd be my last meal if I had to choose one. And then she made some really good family sides. There's super-duper potatoes, secret recipe kind of thing, and pork and bean Betsy, same thing.
What's in
that
the super-duper? I got to know, what's in the super-duper potatoes, though?
What's in that? Thanks for
I need to know.
Question.
Elaborate.
I wish I could tell you. I'll inherit that one day, but I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, wow, that's a good answer.
When you,
that is
when
a really
she
good
won't
answer.
Give it to you,
wow.
When she won't give you the recipe because she want to make sure you come to the house to get it.
Yep.
Oh,
my grandmother would not give the sauce recipe until all the girls in the family were 18, and then we went over there and we learned how to do it and cook it together.
So all of the girls had to be 18.
Yeah, like once I turned 18, I went over there because we make lasagnas on Christmas Eve for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And all the girls in the family get together and we prep them and we do it. But, her recipe was, let me taste this, throw a little bit of this in there, throw that. And we finally got her to write it all down and we learned how to make it.
I know you're not going to give out the recipe, nor should you, based on what you just said.
I would never.
I know, I'm not asking you to. Was there an ingredient, without telling us what it was, that you were like, what? That's in there?
Yes.
And did it make you think twice about wanting to eat it?
No, it made me understand why it was so flavorful.
Oh, that's such a tease. I want to know what that is. I want to know what that
is. It is so good.
Keith in Pennsylvania on Sirius XM 80, your family go-to meal.
Now, I live in Pennsylvania, but I'm from Alabama, so we got a little southern roots in us. First, I want to tell you guys I love your show.
Thank you.
Our go-to meal, my grandmother would make, is half-fried baked barbecue chicken. Make you smack your mama's ass, but I'm telling you right now.
Half-fried.
Then we would have our side would be a dressing, not no stovetop, not dressing.
Mm-hmm.
French dressing, cornbread, little sausage inside, and the finish it makes a peach cobbler, boy.
Ooh, that peach cobbler.
It doesn't last long.
That peach cobbler doesn't last long. Ooh, that peach cobbler with a scoop of ice cream on top of it.
Doesn't last
long. Get that sucker a la mode. Oh. But the fact that they called it dressing and not stuffing makes me feel like I can trust it.
You know, it's
like
serious.
they know what they're doing.
No doubt.
The fact that they call it dressing and not stuffing, they could burn in that kitchen.
Yeah,
exactly. Could somebody call it stuffing, I ain't going to your Thanksgiving, cuz.
Mm. All right, let's get one more for now on this. Rick in Maryland, watching on ESPN2. Your family go-to meal.
Hey guys, how you doing? Love the show. Listen every morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, my mom used to make the skirt steak, which is basically like a flank steak with stuffing inside, homemade, obviously, pinned together, and served with au jus gravy.
Good one.
Oh, that sounds good, too.
Good one.
Yeah.
We got a lot of good answers on this. Keep them coming. We have
starving.
It on social as well. Absolutely. At Unsports ESPN. You can keep it coming, obviously. This is Unsportsmanlike. What did I just say? This
Unsportsmanlike.
I made it into seven syllables. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Candy, and Michelle, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. All right, coming up, we have a lot of conversation about quarterbacks atop the draft. Some of these stats are mind-boggling. We're talking about all of these teams potentially going 1, 2, 3 at the quarterback position. They may think twice based on what we're going to tell you next. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. See why over 28 million drivers trust Progressive to stay protected on the road. See for yourself at progressive.com. So QB position in the NFL draft, obviously, always something we discuss. QBs around the league, any movement there? We saw a move yesterday, San Francisco 49ers signing a guy that was a big topic of conversation at times last year. Joshua Dobbs is their backup quarterback. And when you think about the top of the draft, we're talking about three players going 1, 2, and 3 at that position, okay? But this stat is remarkable. 2021-2022 drafts, there were 19 quarterbacks selected in those two drafts combined.
Mm-hmm.
Two of those in total are expected to be starters this season. Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, first pick in 21, and Brock Purdy. The last pick in 22. 10 of the 19 quarterbacks that were drafted over those 2 years are on new teams or don't have a team.
Or don't have a team.
Wow.
Unemployed at their position.
That's what
currently.
I'm saying. Wow.
Think about that. 2 of 19. Now, my initial takeaway in hearing this is that our patience for development is horrific. Because I don't believe 17 quarterbacks are just awful. I believe that the situations that they're in and the patience we have in developing quarterbacks is terrible in the current modern state of the NFL. Start as a backup, graduate in, et cetera, et cetera. It's not what happens. Too many guys play too quickly. Or, I mean, I guess the other way is that they're just that many bad quarterbacks. Is that possible?
Yes and yes.
How?
Well, I mean, it's never enough quality starting quarterbacks to go around, right? There just aren't. Like, of the 32 starting quarterbacks, we would probably say that there are, you know, what, you know, 12, 13 guys that are firmly entrenched without being challenged for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not a lot of quarterbacks. Like, I mean, of the 32 starting quarterbacks, there are probably, if I'm doing this math right, 18, 19 teams that are looking to upgrade from what they currently have. Think about that. They are actively looking to upgrade from what they currently have. Like, that's the kind of turnover that we see. It's the scarcity when it comes to the position, especially being able to play it at a level that allows your team to have sustained success. So I'm not surprised by this. And when you start to talk about the impatience that we have with the development of quarterbacks, we have impatience with head coaches
yeah.
in their overall yes. development. So, I mean, these franchises want to win now. They want it microwave success. And so if your coach does not have the luxury of time, then, of course, your organizational philosophy is not going to be as such that gives that young quarterback the luxury of time when it comes to their overall development. So Bill Parcells used to always have a philosophy. He says, I'll give a player 3 years to show me what he's got. Then I'm going to make a decision. Well, that's essentially what's bared itself out with the last couple of quarterback classes, the 2021 class and the 2022 class. These organizations have said, you know what, we're going to see what happens in year three. Now, in Kenny Pickett's case, we're talking about he's not going to be the starter going into year three. We've already made a determination. We can move off of him. But it feels like year three is the inflection point in terms of what the organization is going to do long term. If the guy performs, we're going to extend him. If he's not going to be our guy, then we're going to look to move off of him. And that's been what franchises are doing now. So I'm not surprised to see this, especially with the rookie wage scale that was put in place in the 2010 collective bargaining agreement. Like the teams don't have the same investment in these quarterbacks that they once did on rookie contracts, which makes it more palatable for them to trade them away.
Yeah, that was something I was going to bring up as well, is at some point they might be able to continue on and develop, but the team has to make a determination whether we're going to meet the financial needs that are required to keep you around. And unfortunately, with somebody like CJ Stroud, who comes in and is that guy and is so transformational and so productive so early on, everyone expects it to look like that. And when it doesn't look like that, they're like, well, how do I find the guy who can make it look like that?
Mm.
And whether that's spending a lot of money to bring somebody in from the outside, like Kirk Cousins, or hitting the restart button over and drafting again, most of these guys do not get that much runway. And a lot of it is, to your point, is that the head coach knows, well, I have a short amount of runway. So if I don't get this right, then I'm out of here. And maybe if I draft a new quarterback or if I start over, that buys me a little bit longer of a leash because then I have a next project to look to.
At NFL Research, put that out on social media. It's a fascinating thing. You just said something, though, CeCe. You said, what was the number you said of teams that you think are actively looking to upgrade their current quarterback situation?
Yeah, I said 18 or 19 teams.
18 or 19. Can we go through this quickly here?
Sure, let's do the exercise.
Okay, so AFC East, New England. I think we believe that Miami should, but they're not, right? Mm-hmm. So New England, for sure. AFC North.
Hold on, the Jets, too.
Yeah, I was going to say the Jets.
Jets have to be included in that.
They're not actively looking to upgrade their quarterback situation.
Now, whether they are or they should be, that's
two different questions. You think the Jets are actively looking?
What are they doing after Aaron Rodgers?
I was going to say, he's not a long-term solution.
What are they doing
I never said
Aaron?
You were wrong, no, but I'm asking
just
about saying, them.
That has to be something that they think about. They thought that Zach Wilson was going to be their developmental player. That's not going to work out.
Right.
That so should be on the list.
That has to be on the list. But it has to be on the board.
To me, that's a should be more than they are. Okay.
Okay. That's fine. Okay.
I'll put them in a separate. We'll kind of do this. Our versus should be. And AFC North. I'll still put Pittsburgh on there, even though they made the acquisitions.
Pittsburgh is.
Yeah,
Cleveland is.
Put them. A what?
Cleveland. They just signed two quarterbacks. They just
showed us they're actively trying to upgrade the quarterback position.
Just signed two quarterbacks.
I am.
If they signed one, okay, you can make the argument backup quarterback. They signed Tyler Huntley along with Jameis Winston.
There's something weird going on there. I am going to go back to the idea of what has been said by you and Rob, our social and digital guy, is a huge Browns fan, that maybe we should be paying more attention to Watson's shoulder that actually ended his season last year versus what he did when he was healthy playing. Mm-hmm. That when he like we have not focused on that part of it. No. All right, AFC South.
So we put Cleveland on the list, right?
I put them in the Jets category.
Okay. All right.
The Titans. AFC.
I don't think they're actively looking to upgrade. I think they're looking to see if Will Levis can be that guy. I really don't think they're actively looking to upgrade. I like Will Levis. I would have no
problem. But you don't know about Will Levis.
You don't know about Will
but
Levis.
But actively looking upgrade. Sure, I'll put them in the Jets and Browns category that they may have to, right?
We love our Mayo King, but we don't know if he's the guy yet.
Definitely Denver, definitely the Raiders.
No doubt.
I mean, there's no doubt about that. Denver is the sneakiest, like, we don't talk about them, but what the heck are they doing as a franchise team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can't just blame Russell Wilson anymore. He's not there.
Yeah.
NFC East, the Giants for sure,
Washington.
Yep. And again, these are teams that we think are actively looking to upgrade. Chicago technically is on there because they don't have them yet.
And Minnesota.
Good one. Yep. Atlanta, no. Carolina's interesting. Not actively looking to upgrade, but do they join the Jets, Cleveland, Tennessee?
If they have the number one pick again this year, if they have the number one pick in 2025, they're going to be looking to upgrade.
I'm going to put them in that other category. Okay. We'll kind of label that after.
New Orleans for sure.
Tampa, no, I don't think. You just gave a three-year deal to a quarterback.
I would say no.
Okay.
I think Arizona's in the Jets, Cleveland, Tennessee, Carolina category.
Arizona and Seattle are in there for me. Yeah. And here's the thing. I think the Rams are looking too.
I was just going to say.
The Rams are looking too.
They need a post-Matthew Stafford plan.
I'd like to put Seattle in the actively.
Yeah, Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle.
Okay,
Seattle.
I'm saying I didn't know if they were in the other one. So here's what we have. I just choked, I think.
Yeah, are you okay?
I don't know what just happened to me. Sounds coming out of me, left and right. All right, here we go. New England, Pittsburgh, Denver, Vegas, the Giants, Washington, the Bears, Minnesota, New Orleans, and Seattle. Definitively looking to actively upgrade the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
Teams that may have to start to think about it for whatever reason that it is, right? Mm-hmm. Old age, you know, retirement, whatever it may be. The Jets, Browns, Titans, Panthers, Cardinals, Rams.
How many teams we got?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 16? 13, 14, 15, 16. Okay. Half the league is in its spot right now.
I mean, listen, and there are some of them that are debatable, right? So, yeah.
That's the thing.
Half the league in any given year is actively looking to upgrade their
quarterbacks. And there's, like you said, some other ones that aren't on the list that we can make an argument for.
Exactly.
That's a lot. And there aren't enough quarterbacks to go around to get half the quarterbacks.
There are never enough quarterbacks to go around.
Coming up, does Caitlin Clark have more pressure on her to win a title than anyone in sports? We'll answer that question next on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon presented by Applebee's. Download the Tournament Challenge app and fill out your men's and women's brackets now.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The voice of ESPN college basketball analyst Andrea Carter talking about the pressure on Iowa superstar Caitlin Clark.
Before we get into that, I was just watching a highlight of Anthony Edwards ducking on John Collins. I think he actually hurt his finger.
He did.
By how hard the ball went through the hoop, because the ball hits his left hand after it goes through the hoop. I think that's how he hurts his left hand on that dunk, because he dunks it with his right hand.
Yeah.
So I think he actually heard it because of how hard the ball came down on his left hand after he dunked on John Collins.
You're saying through the net,
the basically? Ball went, yeah, after the ball, after he dunks the ball, it goes through the bounces off his left hand. And I think that's what dislocates his finger on his left hand.
Think about the force with which he had to slam that down in order for it to injure his finger on the other side.
That is insane, Smalls.
Insane.
That is insane.
I did not pick up on that the first time, second time, or tenth time that I saw
it. He hurt himself with how hard he dunked the ball on that dude's head.
The way he slams that ball, you expect the glass to shatter.
Like, at this point, if you're a shot blocker, at this point, you just chalk it up, right? Like, you see Anthony Edwards coming in the lane. Like, this is probably not going to end well for you. The risk reward is just, it's not worth it.
I'm not trying to be on a poster.
Give him the 2 points. Let's call it a day, cuz.
They said he hurt it, his left ring finger, when his hand collided with Collins' cheekbone. And then he ran back, a football player this, he ran back, they popped it back, the finger back in place, and he got it taped up and continued to dominate the game.
Oh, okay, got it. Well, I like it better the way I told it, my story.
Yeah, but he, okay, listen, I'm going to sound like kind of a hater, but he didn't actually, like, dunk it. He threw the ball in the hoop.
Are you saying Grant Hill, 91, against Kansas, that alley-oop for Duke? Remember that famous alley-oop that he had for Duke where he kind of threw it in, and everybody was like, ah, is it really a dunk or is it a throw? Nuno just tried to take every part away from this Anthony Edwards dunk. It was,
I don't understand that.
He just poured so much cold water on it. Oh, that was great by Nuno.
I mean, was that because the Jalen Johnson, like, which one was more disrespectful, that one or the Hawks Jalen Johnson on
Austin Reeves? If you look at where Austin Reeves' face is, I would probably say Jalen Johnson's dunk is more disrespectful. I mean, that was the first play of the game. That was just like, I'm coming in hot. I'm just going to send a message. And he sent a message. I mean, it was very, very awkward and uncomfortable for Austin Reeves and Jalen Johnson in that play.
All right. And side note, Smalls, so all the morning talk shows are doing this whole royal family and turmoil stuff. And
yes.
Princess Kate. Yeah, that's not her. That's they got.
Nobody was debating whether or not it was her, right?
Like, everybody is.
But how can you see the picture and think it was her?
I think it's her.
You
because
she's
this woman is walking with Prince William, so everyone assumes that it's Kate, but it looks like a body double or something. It doesn't look like her.
I think we're just not used to seeing her not wearing a dress or something.
But if there's been all of this conversation,
it's her face.
Right? If there's all this conversation about where she is, and then she's out and about, why would they like relaunch her into the world like this? Makes
no
sense.
That's what I'm saying. If this is the royal family, everything they do is doesn't look like her face on the television side. We're showing it, but everything they do is so buttoned up and so official with all of this press and all of this, all these conspiracy theories surrounding her. If she was able to, why wouldn't they just have her cut a quick video and be like, thank you for your concern. I'm recovering.
Makes no sense.
Got some great apples at the farmer's market. Intend to bake a pie later. And they haven't done it. All they've done is put out videos that are suspect and photos that are photoshopped.
So questions.
They got a stunt double for Kate Middleton.
Yeah. Well, they probably have to. That? They probably have to for security purposes. They probably have to do some things like that, right? For all of the, like, I would assume every president probably has that, if I had
probably,
to guess.
Yeah.
Dumb question. They go shopping for themselves?
Thank you.
No, I'm asking. I don't know.
No, of
they
course
were at
not.
They a farmer's market, though, right?
But you just like
isn't the part of being at a farmer's market having an opportunity to bop around and see what they got going on out there?
But these are two people that can't walk outside the door without 12 people saying yes and having a full security detail accompanying them. They can't just go grab a latte and some produce.
They didn't have security with them?
Oh, I'm sure that they did, but this just seems like something that they would not be allowed to do.
Like they're trying too hard.
Yes.
I got you. They're trying too hard to put everybody at ease. I got you.
So
I hear you.
It has been confirmed or not confirmed, Nuno, that it's her? Like, have they said that it's officially not her, or we're still speculating on that?
I mean, I think they're trying to say it's her, but, I mean, Michelle's going to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, please.
I'm on it.
Please, yes. Thank you very much.
I talked to some sources over the weekend.
Sources?
You got sources?
I did. Some people who have boots on the ground there over the weekend who may or may not be tied to the family.
Okay.
And there was other speculations about why she might have been out of the public spotlight right now.
Uh-huh.
But if their theories are deemed to be true, then she would be in no physical condition to really meet with the public. So I don't know what to believe.
This is PR-wise, if that was her yesterday, this is one of the dumbest PR moves I've ever seen in my entire life. Just put out a statement or something with her on video and get it over with. You're just adding to this where people are going to speculate every single day by doing it this way. It makes no sense.
I can't understand it.
I can't understand it either. It makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. All right. Tournament challenge is underway. You can fill out your brackets with us here at ESPN. You can fill out up to 25 on the men's and women's side. The Tournament Challenge app, you could be a part of it. We have over 11 million brackets already filled out. That is awesome. And the number one star in college basketball right now, by far, is Caitlin Clark.
No doubt.
You heard Andrea Carter coming back there, our great ESPN college basketball analyst, talk about the pressure on her to potentially get to the Final Four, maybe even win it. Does she have more pressure on her than any active athlete to win a championship?
Ooh. Oh, man. It's so hard to say she does just because of what she's done for the sport, right? Like, she's the all-time leading scorer, not just in women's basketball, but in college basketball history. She already had a deep run in the NCAA tournament. She was in the finals last year, came up a little bit short to LSU. Like, we know that she's carried her team. I don't think anybody questions whether or not she has championship DNA just because she came one win shy of winning the whole damn thing. So I don't know that she has – I don't know she has more pressure on her to win a title than anybody in sports. I mean, like, off the top of my head, there are a couple of guys in the NBA that I think have immense pressure on them to win a title this year, like Jason Tatum. Mm-hmm. Like, his team is 10 games over the second closest team in the Eastern Conference record-wise. I mean, I just think that they absolutely have more pressure to win this year than Caitlin Clark does. I think Jason Tatum does. And I would probably put Kevin Durant in that category, too. Like, as players that have more pressure to win than Caitlin Clark, like, absolutely her. Shohei Ohtani is another one. I mean, anytime you get a $700 million contract, there's pressure to win. So,
and he's starting to throw now to play the field, maybe.
Yeah, he's saying he could potentially play outfield. So I think those are a few of the athletes that are under more pressure than Caitlin Clark.
I think it's Caitlin Clark because this is it for her. KD, Jason Tatum, these other athletes that you mentioned, they're going to have more opportunities to get it done in their respective sport. Caitlin Clark's headed to the WNBA. This is the last opportunity that she's going to have to get it done. We're talking about this woman being not only the face of women's college basketball, but college basketball, period. Think about the responsibility that that statement carries. And this is the only thing that is missing from the resume, and it's going to be a tough path for her to get there, but I think that this will be one of those things, if she doesn't end up winning a title, that we always talk about. I don't think it will take away from her legacy in any way, because that's cemented in so many ways, including actually physically on the court in Iowa, but knowing that this is the last shot she has at it, I think it ratchets up the
pressure.
But
let me ask you a question, though. If she doesn't win a title in college basketball, but she wins one in the WNBA, does that change it a little bit?
Yes. Well, I'm going to tell you why. You just said something about Jason Tatum. You said his team is 10 games better than the next best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
In talking to Andrea Carter yesterday when I was in for Greeny, 10-8 at noon Eastern here on ESPN Radio, what she said was the team around Caitlin Clark is not good enough to win a championship.
No.
So how can I put the pressure on her versus Josh Allen in Buffalo, versus Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, specifically Lamar, who we believe is a Hall of Famer based on resume, and he's going to get in the Hall of Fame with the two MVPs, but the team around him is loaded. Right? I mean, so you wouldn't say that about Caitlin Clark. Ohtani, the team around him, is loaded and drives Smalls crazy about that, right? So I don't think anyone would say, it's not like Caitlin Clark is playing with Juju Watkins at USC. Like, they're
not like she's playing for Dawn Staley at South Carolina.
No, or even at LSU, right? Yeah. Or the old UConn or Tennessee teams where, like, the entire roster basically is going pro at some point. So I don't think there's as much pressure on her as there are other athletes in sports. Now, she can't lose in the first round. And she's got to probably score, 25 to 30 in every game, even in a loss. But to win a title, I don't think there's more pressure on her than other athletes in sports right now. And I'm not trying to be insulting towards her or her team, right? It's not where these other teams were. All right, she still is going to get it done, just like Granger and just like CeCe.
Absolutely. Caitlin Clark is going to get it done in the NCAA tournament, and Granger gets it done. Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, Their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Pat Costello, our producer, is here each and every day giving us items around his life, sports, news, entertainment that he is over. Morning, Pat.
Good morning. I'm over. It's brought to you by Carlin versus Joe and the Tournament Challenge, where you can download the Tournament Challenge app and fill up to 25 men's and women's brackets for more chances to win. You can compete against Joe Fortenball and Chris Carlin, two of the smartest bracketologists outside of Joe Lunardi personally. And if you want a little bit of extra juice on it, Joe Fortenball is going to get you some of those best bets that you need. Noon to 3 ESPN Radio, Carlin versus Joe.
How much did they pay you?
They're going to give me some caffeinated beverages.
Very nice.
Caffeinated beverages. That's the trade-off for the Spawn Shore Ship today?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yep. You said beverages, plural.
Yeah.
Pretty good deal.
Wow.
Yeah, I think
congrats.
So. Thanks. I'm super over gender reveals. Like, they're so stupid. What are we doing? Why are we firing, like, fireworks out of an airplane that's upside down while we're also slicing a cake? Like, here's how a gender reveal should go. Javante, me and my wife were having a baby, and it's a boy. They're revealed. Done. Like, what are we doing?
Reveal.
Pat, question, though. What if I told you that there was a gendered reveal gone wrong where nobody was hurt, but it was gone wrong? Wouldn't you like that?
No.
You wouldn't?
It's even stupider.
Oh, like,
not only are you doing something dumb, you messed up the dumb thing and make it even more dumb.
Yeah, but you could laugh at them for doing it.
Stupid. Canty, please don't do a gender reveal.
I'm not doing a gender reveal. I just think it's just a little too on the nose. Like, you can have a baby shower. You don't have to do the gender reveal. You don't have to go through those links to have these flashy gender reveals, whether it's the wife tossing a baseball and the guy having to hit the ball and it explodes with a blue or pink pop. Like, that's just doing way too much to me. Like, I just feel like if you're going to have the baby shower, you can do that. If you want to kind of gently announce it, you can have it with color coordinated, have blue balloons or have pink balloons. But you ain't got to go through this whole event, like, within the baby shower to do the gender reveal. That's just, I'm with Pat on that one. People have taken it way too far. Like, I'm just looking at, like, gender reveals gone wrong. There was quite literally a wildfire started in Canada, in Alberta, Canada,
because of
a gender reveal gone wrong.
What was it, fireworks or something?
Yeah, I guess they had some kind of target, and the target was supposed to explode, and the powder was supposed to come out, but instead it just started a fire. Yeah.
This is just like weddings. All of this stuff has gotten so far out of control because of social media. They're like, what can we do that's big and shocking that we can get on video that we can post online? It's not how do I share this news with my friends and family in a sweet way. It's what's going to get me a lot of likes and clicks.
We're showing one on TV where it was like a smoke thing that went off when they realized there was a little girl, and it went into someone's face and then covered them with all the purple and pink smoke.
Not great.
That's funny, actually. All right, next one, Pat.
Hold on really quickly. Yeah. Evan, when you had your children, did you find out before or were you surprised when they were born? Because that's one thing I can't understand.
My first kid, we did not find out before.
How did you do that? There's no way I would have had the patience required to find out the day my child was born. I would have to know earlier.
No, we did not know. We had no idea. We put it. The doctor gave us the information in a sealed envelope. We never opened the sealed envelope. And then that was my son. And my daughter we knew in advance, mainly for planning purposes relative to do we need to buy stuff or do we already have stuff? So found out the second one, did not find out the first one.
Were you surprised that it was a boy? Did you think it was one way or the other?
I have no recollection of what I thought.
Oh, really? Wow.
I have no recollection of what I thought. I remember we were more dead set on a girl's name than we were a boy's name. So upon arrival, we were not 100% certain as to what my son's name would be. We knew with my daughter. We did not know with my
son. How long did it take you to settle on a name?
Oh, no. You have to do it quickly before everybody wants to come in there. And then, hey, this is Chris or Michelle, right? You want to introduce it immediately with the name. So we were like, all right, we're down to this. Like, we got to make a decision. He looks like a, you know, and then you're just like, all right, whatever it is.
So it's like the draft board of actual names that you wanted to name yourself.
We were thinking
he's
about trading.
Yeah, we
were thinking about trading down. We were trading down. Yeah, we're going to get some extra picks in the future. We were trying to save some cap room. I mean, I don't know. What do you want me to do? Lower his salary slot for
smart
a lower
approach.
Pick. Yeah. And trust me, as a parent, everybody out there can relate. You don't save any cap room. Very expensive. Next one, Pat.
One place that'll never do gender reveals is Carlin versus Joe, noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio. But they will reveal to you how you can win your bracket if you download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app right now. Join the ESPN Radio group, compete against Carlin versus Joe. And that's it.
Did you just cut yourself off just now? What just happened to you?
I ran out of breath, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, okay.
Have you guys seen cave diving? Have you ever seen this at all the internet?
What is it?
It's lunatics who will go underground for hours, if not days, and wedge themselves into about a foot-tall gap so they can crawl through a cave, I guess, to challenge themselves so that maybe they can see something cool in the cave at the end of it. But they're, like, face down in, like, a one-inch gap, squeezing themselves through it while filming themselves. What do you do? Stay out of the caves.
But
what are you doing?
Why do they call it cave diving, though?
Because, like,
why not cave exploring?
Why don't they? Why not? Underwater. They're lunatics.
Hold on, you're going underwater?
Yeah.
Nobody told me there was water.
No,
involved.
This is just that's actual diving. This is just people going into caves.
Okay. Wait, but this is
there's fish.
Wait, they have fins on.
Yeah, it looks
this
like
is underwater.
No, that's
underwater.
That's different.
That okay, so that would make sense when you call it cave diving.
Yeah,
it's underwater.
I
thought when you just went to a cave, that's just exploring.
Well, kind of.
I did that kind
both are
of
terrible.
On a very, very low level when I was in Tulum. We went into the cenotes.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to go under something to emerge into a cave to see certain cenotes. And even that quick
are you
underneath,
speaking English right now?
Yeah, cenote. Yeah.
Tulum, cenote. I don't know what any
Tulum
of this is.
Tulum is a place in Mexico.
Okay.
And cenotes are basically these underwater areas that exist on land.
Okay.
But even those quick dips for you to go into the cenotes.
So it's almost like a grotto type of situation.
So it's basically like a grotto. Okay. Yeah. But you know, like in Italy, when you go into the grottos
the grotto,
and you have to duck under in your boat so you can get underneath the rocks.
Yeah.
Even that's too much for me.
I'm with you on that one. I'm all good on confined spaces. I don't want to be enclosed in spaces where I got to go underwater to get in and to get out. Nah. that sounds like a lot can go wrong.
Totally.
It sounds like a bad horror film, and I don't want no parts of it. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to be the main character. I'm straight.
I agree with you, Pat. These people are psycho. Next
psychotic.
One.
I don't think you'll ever have to see Chris Carlin diving in a cave. I don't think that's going to be happening anytime soon. We can ask him.
You know, you're supposed to promote the show, not insult the show.
I think he'd agree with me.
I don't think he would do that either. Yeah, somebody that's worked with him for years, he's not. That's not happening.
Stop lying to me, by the way. The ice cream machine is not broken. I know it's not broken. Just tell me that you don't want to make me a milkshake. That's fine. But don't lie to me that the ice cream machine is broken when I'm at the drive-thru.
You at McDonald's, right? The McFlurry machine?
McFlurry
machine is never working.
It
when
is
you have
always
it.
Down.
It's never working.
Always down.
It's always down. They so damn good, but the machine is never working. I don't understand it. Why even have it as a menu option if I can't really get it? It really is just
you're
a
saying
tease.
It breaks at multiple locations?
Yes, no matter where you go.
Many times.
Across America. No matter where you go.
You hit a certain time of the night, and they just shut it down, and then they tell you it's broken.
It's always when you're really craving it, too.
Yeah, it is.
Where they're like, the machine's broken.
Yeah,
well, that just tells you that it's hard to clean, and they want to make sure it's clean before they have to get out of there. That's basically what that is, based on what Pat just said. Adam Schefter will join us next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.